You know, we'll never go wrong putting our trust in the Lord. Do not fear or be dismayed. Are you in a storm? The disciples were. The winds were contrary and they were really struggling. And Jesus came to them and he said, "Do not fear. I am." I hope that this morning, no matter what your situation is, you can say and hear these words that the Lord said to Joshua. Do not fear.
Welcome to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Today we continue our study of the life of Joshua. Pastor Scott brings a message titled, From the Valley of Trouble to the First Altar. We invite you to follow along with us now as we get started.
You want to take your Bible and turn to Joshua 8. If you don't have a Bible, grab that pew Bible if you could and turn to page 167. We're looking at the life of Joshua. These characters in the Bible are written down for our instruction. They're made of the same stuff we are. They faced the same struggles and issues in life, victories, defeats, mountains, valleys. And so we're enjoying looking at the life of Joshua. And we know that the Lord hasn't changed. Joshua, everything he learned about the Lord, everything that he wrote down about the Lord is still true. Never goes obsolete. Never have to update it. Father, I praise you for that, and I thank you that as we turn to your word now, written way before your son came, this portion of it, centuries and centuries ago, it's not stale, it's not out of date, it speaks right to where we live, and we come, every one of us, you know our situation. You know our struggles. You know the trouble we're in. You know everything. And we invite you now to speak to us through your word. Use your sharp two-edged sword in our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You ever been in like a heap of trouble? We use that term. I'm in a heap of trouble. Or you're in a heap of trouble. Well, Joshua was in the valley of trouble. Really, that's almost more picturesque, isn't it? Because I guess you can think of a heap of troubles heaped on you, but you can also think of the low of a valley of trouble, and that's where we left him. Chapter 8, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not fear or be dismayed." Boy, he needed to hear that. This is exactly what he needed to hear. And not just hear, "Do not fear or be dismayed," but he heard it directly from the Lord. The Lord said to Joshua, "Do not fear or be dismayed." All momentum was lost. I mean, they'd come across the Jordan River. The Lord had parted the river. They had circumcised everybody. They'd had the first Passover. And then he met the captain of the Lord of hosts. And the captain said, "See, I've given Jericho to you." And they had the great victory of Jericho. And if you glance back at the last verse of chapter 6, the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was in all the land. But last week we read through the doldrums of chapter 7. But chapter 7, they turned tail and ran. They had 36 funerals to deal with because there was sin in the congregation, hidden sin that God saw to it that they uncovered. Now they were at the valley of trouble. And it was a very sobering and startling experience for Joshua. And he really needs to hear these words, "Do not fear or be dismayed." You know, that is a never a naked command. Don't fear, cheer up. That's not the way the Lord speaks. He doesn't just say, "Don't fear, be dismayed," like we might just cheer each other up. Just hang in there. No. Always, there's a reason not to fear or be dismayed. In fact, I've kind of scoured through the Bible, and this recurs often. And always it is based on truth. Don't be fearful. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Don't tremble or be dismayed. I have. Notice this one here. "I have given into your hand the king of Ai." Verse 1. Or, "I will." The Lord says, don't fear, be dismayed. I have, or I will, or I am. I am. And I repeat it. This isn't a naked command. We don't gather just to kind of cheer ourselves up and just say, be tough, hang in there, don't fear. No fear. Put it on your t-shirt. No. We don't fear or be dismayed because of who the Lord is. Now, this isn't the first time Joshua's heard these words. Do not fear, be dismayed. But he needs to hear them repeatedly, and so do I. I don't know about you, but I do. In fact, it was 40, in fact, when I was thinking about it, it was 20 years ago today, Sergeant Pepper, now you guys didn't remember that? Taught the band to play. I've been thinking about that all week because 40 years earlier, and I thought it was 40 years ago that Joshua had first heard Moses say, don't fear or be dismayed. And sometimes things echo back, and I first heard it was 20 years ago today, Sergeant Pepper taught the band to play over 40 years ago. Some of you did too, you just won't admit it. And it still sticks with you. Now that I've said it, I hope that's not your take home from the sermon. But I will tell you that that came to my mind, but then I thought about other things. In fact, interestingly enough, it was 40 years ago today. This year, I don't know what day, I heard some things that still resonate in my soul because I heard truth in 1971. And Moses had said, turn back there. They're the bookends to the book of Deuteronomy. Turn to Deuteronomy 1, verse 21. Moses is kind of recapping stuff, and he's got the whole nation listening, and he said, I said to you, verse 20, you have come to the hill country of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is about to give us. I have, I will, or I am, okay? See, the Lord your God has placed the land before you. Go up. Take possession, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has spoken to you. Do not fear or be dismayed. I think those words echoed in Joshua's soul. Don't fear or be dismayed. And notice, just look at verse 20 and 21. He, as I said, these aren't naked commands. This is never a naked command. This is, he says, the Lord our God is about to give you. The Lord your God has placed the land before you. And the Lord, the God of your fathers, Yahweh, our God, Yahweh your God, Yahweh, the God of our fathers, he's given this land to us. Don't fear or be dismayed. Now turn over to Deuteronomy 31, the other end of Deuteronomy. 40 years later, right when Moses is kind of handing the baton to Joshua, he again says, verse 8, "The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." Then very recently, chapter 1 of Joshua, when the Lord spoke to him as he commissioned him after Moses died, he said, "Don't tremble or be dismayed. I will not fail you or forsake you. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go." David said the same thing to Solomon over in Chronicles 28. Then David said to his son Solomon, "Be strong and courageous and act. Do not fear or be dismayed. For the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you until all the work of the service of the house of the Lord is finished." Because you remember he's saying, "I can't build this place, but I've got all the materials together." You've got a big task and you're a young guy. But don't be fearful. Don't be dismayed. The Lord your God is with you. He'll be with you till he's seen you through this task. You face something that's sort of daunting today? Don't just say, "Oh, I can, I'll go for it." Say, "The Lord my God is with me. He won't fail me or forsake me." Don't be afraid. Don't tremble. When Jehoshaphat faced that throng of people, they looked out and they saw this and they trembled. They didn't know what to do. They said, "We don't know which way to turn, but our eyes are on you." And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, and he said, "Listen, all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says Yahweh to you, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15. When Hezekiah saw Sennacherib, and I mean, that was like seeing the massive power of Assyria. He spoke to Israel in 2 Chronicles 32, and he said to the people, "Do not fear or be dismayed because of the king of Assyria, nor because of all the multitude with him. For the one with us is greater than the one with him." You face a valley of trouble today. You feel like all the wind's out of your sails or the momentum is lost. Don't fear or be dismayed. I mean, I don't know about you. In fact, I do know about you. You're made of the same stuff I am. I woke up in the middle of the night, fearful and anxious. And I thought, well, I can't sleep. I might as well review my sermon. Let's see, what is it? Oh yeah, do not fear or be dismayed. And I said, ouch. Now, you know, we need to hear this often. And I didn't say ouch, I said, praise the Lord. Honestly, don't fear or be dismayed. You see, I have, I will, I am. Friday night, I read this because it so moved me. Peter Coons, we printed it on the back of the program on a 3x5 card that he wrote on November 12th when he was really hurting. He wrote this down and then kept it by his bedside. And this falls under the I am category. Okay? I am sovereign. I am the one who has promised to enclose you behind and before. I am the one who said, all things work together for good to those who love God. That's who our Lord is. And Peter writes, remember this, and he's quoting C.H. Spurgeon. He found this quote and he clung to it. Remember this, had any other condition been better for you than the one in which you are, divine love would have put you there. Be content with such things as you have, since the Lord has ordered all things for your good. Boy, that's good. And that's good to hang on to. And that isn't just whistling Dixie. That's the truth of it. And I told some of you, I told a lot of you, because a lot of you gathered Friday night, but, you know, for a matter of months now, it has been almost our routine as we bump into one another to talk about how Peter's doing one way or another. And I ran into Doug Martin out in the parking lot Friday, and it just naturally came out as we said something. I said, Peter's had a great week. He's had a great week. You know, we'll never go wrong putting our trust in the Lord. Do not fear or be dismayed. Are you in a storm? The disciples were. The winds were contrary and they were really struggling. And Jesus came to them and he said, do not fear. I am. I hope that this morning, no matter what your situation is, you can say and hear these words that the Lord said to Joshua, do not fear or be dismayed. Why? Well, verse 1, because I have given into your hand the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. I've given you the king, the people, the city, the land. I have given them to you. Now, get the guys together, get the people of war with you. Arise, go up, and take Ai, this city that just turned your tail last week. And so, in verses 2 and following, you shall do to Ai and its king just as you did to Jericho and its king. You shall take only its spoil and its cattle or as plunder for yourselves. Set an ambush for the city behind it. And I'm not going to read through. Our goal is not to study Joshua's tactics and all that God did. Let me just say, God gave Ai to Joshua. This time he did it differently. The walls didn't tumble. They didn't march around. They set an ambush. They used strategy. The Lord gave them the strategy. Let's pick it up at verse 26. Joshua did not withdraw his hand. And by the way, you can't help but see the parallel between Joshua and Moses in his first battle with Moses holding that staff up. Joshua held the javelin up and he didn't withdraw his hand, with which he stretched out the javelin until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Israel took only the cattle and the spoil of that city as plunder for themselves, according to the word of the Lord, which he had commanded Joshua. So Joshua burned Ai and made it a heap forever and a desolation until this day. And he hanged, watch this now, he hanged the king of Ai on a tree until evening. Think rebellious king. Think Psalm 2. Think of all the little kings of this world that shake their little fist at Yahweh and say, I don't believe in your God. Who is the Lord? I don't know the Lord, Pharaoh said. And besides, I'm not going to let your people go. And there's been pharaohs all the way through. There's plenty of them today. And the king of Ai, think a rebel king, and he's hung on a tree, okay? And he hung till evening, and at sunset, Joshua gave command, and they took his body down from the tree, just like it says in Deuteronomy. Don't let him hang overnight. Don't defile the land. Take him down, because he who hangs on a tree, Deuteronomy 21 says, is cursed of God. Now remember that, okay? And he threw it at the entrance of the city gate and raised over it a great heap of stones that stands to this day. Yet another stone memorial. A little different than the ones, than the first one. But another stone memorial here. Then Joshua built an altar to the Lord, the God of Israel, in Mount Ebal. Just notice with me, because the author is intentional. Verse 29, the rebellious king hanging on a tree. Verse 30, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is worshiped. Joshua builds an altar. This is the first altar in the Promised Land. Okay? Now let's just read what happened. Joshua built an altar to the Lord, the God of Israel, in Mount Ebal, just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded the sons of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of uncut stones on which no man had wielded an iron tool. And they offered burnt offerings on it to the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. And he wrote there on the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he had written in the presence of the sons of Israel. And all Israel, with their elders and officers and their judges, were standing on both sides of the ark before the Levitical priests who carried the ark of the covenant of the Lord, the stranger as well as the native. Half of them stood in front of Mount Gerizim, and half of them in front of Mount Ebal. Ebal to the north, Gerizim to the south. There was a valley in between, a natural amphitheater. By the way, there was a city, Shechem. Just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded at first to bless the people of Israel. In Deuteronomy 27, we'll look there in just a second. Then afterward, he read all the words of the law, the blessing and the curse, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded which Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers who were living among them. Now, as I say, this is the first altar on the West Bank in the Promised Land, okay? And this is another very significant parallel between Moses, Joshua's mentor, and Joshua. Both these guys are types of Christ, and both of these men have, you know, they cast a long shadow in history, and we can learn a lot from their lives. Well, you see yet another parallel between the two. Moses gave the law in Exodus 20, and then he built an altar, the first altar, out in the wilderness after they came across the Red Sea. He was the giver of the law. We speak of him that way. Of course, God gave the law. But Moses gave the law, and then he built an altar of uncut stones. It wasn't supposed to be man's craftsmanship here. It was just a simple altar to worship the Lord.
You've been listening to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Please stay with us. Pastor Scott will return in just a moment with a preview of our next broadcast. Today's program was titled, From the Valley of Trouble to the First Altar, a message from Chapter 8 of the Book of Joshua. If you missed a portion of the message heard on the program today, or you'd like to share it with a friend, head on over to downtownbible.org. A free copy of today's entire message is available there for you to stream or download at your convenience. On the front page of our website, you'll see a link to the Romans Project. We are very excited about the work God is doing through this ministry. We extend an invitation for you to learn more about it. Now, with nearly 14,000 pastors involved throughout 19 countries, including Liberia, Sierra Leone, Myanmar, and the Philippines, we've seen tremendous growth since the project's inception in 2005. To learn more, navigate to downtownbible.org or connect with us at facebook.com/Romans Project. Scott Gilchrist also leads a weekly Bible study in Portland, which shares the name of this radio program, Downtown Bible Class. 150 to 250 people meet every Wednesday at the Portland Art Museum for great teaching and a complimentary lunch buffet. A perfect break in the work week and an informal atmosphere where you can bring friends or coworkers and make new connections. Join us from 12:15 to 12:45 every Wednesday. Check us out at downtownbible.org for more information or call us at 503-524-7000. Now, while it's our joy to present this radio program and the resources on our website completely free of charge, we do want to remind you there's a significant cost associated with this ministry. We'd like to ask you to prayerfully consider supporting us financially.
It's through the generous contributions of our listeners that we're able to continue broadcasting on this station. Now, before we end our time today, let's go to Pastor Scott for a preview of our next broadcast.
But when you turn to the Lord, there you find liberty. And the law is meant to be like a tutor to drive us, to lead us to Christ, that we may be justified through Him. You say, how? Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Christ became that curse.
Join us again next time as we continue our study of the life of Joshua. Pastor Scott continues the message from the Valley of Trouble to the First Altar. Until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you.